的那一耳旁。
神马神马神马神马神马西拉伊拉。
Shalom, shalom, Boker Tov, and Shana Tova to all of you. Good morning. This is the Radio Rabbi program, and many of you know who I am. I am your Radio Rabbi, Rabbi Barbara Aiello, and it is so nice to be with all of you today. And wherever you are, Shana Tova, as we prepare for a happy, prosperous, healthy, and sweet New Year. Shana Tova to all of our listeners in the Tampa Bay area, and to our new friends in Brussels, to some old friends in Berlin, London, and Amsterdam, and some old friends in Singapore as well. Dublin and Dubai, good to have you with us too, and thank you for your emails. We appreciate that. And a nice note from Chicagoland, and appreciate that too. We say good morning and Boker Tov and Shana Tova also to our Christian friends on their way to church or coming back from the early service. And of course, we know that nobody would be hearing anything without the expertise of our very own Mr. Bill. Hello, Mr. Bill.
I got my theme music back. Shana Tova, Rabbi.
Oh, Shana Tova. Very good. You're pronouncing Hebrew like an Israeli, and Shana Tova means for a good year. And we're coming up to a brand new year, and it's a time for us to say thank you to you, Mr. Bill, for everything you do for us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And you are welcome. And of course, we say a Shana Tova and a happy new year and a Todah Rabah to Sleep King of Sarasota, our charter sponsor for 15 years and counting. Today is Sunday, September 3rd, 2017, but on the Hebrew calendar, it is the 12th day in the Hebrew month of Elul in the year 5777. Rosh Hashanah begins on Wednesday evening, September 20th, and that's almost here. How about that? And we are in the middle of the preparatory month of Elul, and it is the month where the shofar is sounded every day, so we'll continue that here today, along with some Torah talk, music of the season, of course, for the new year. And we said that we'll have two special programs on Rosh Hashanah, and this is our very first one. The next program, we'll talk a little bit more about Yom Kippur as well. We have some wonderful music for you, and I hope that you are making your Rosh Hashanah plans. Oh, you say, Radio Rabbi, I haven't been to synagogue in years. I just feel so uncomfortable walking in the door. Well, we have some wonderful synagogues that are open and welcoming all over the Tampa Bay area, many around the United States. Just send me an email, rabbi@rabbibarbara.com, rabbi@rabbibarbara.com. And if you are looking for a warm and welcoming synagogue, I am happy to pave the way for you so that on that first day of Rosh Hashanah, which would be September 21st, you can hear the 101 blasts of the shofar. Well, today we'll listen to some of the music of the season, and we're going to start with the greeting. We're going to start with the greeting, and if you want to practice the greeting, Shana Tova, you can sing along. Let's listen.
Shana ba ani kapay arima Shana tova lecha ba Shana tova lachima Shana tova, Shana tova
Shana tova ledot gibor Asher al hamishmeret Ulechol noter ba'ir ba'kfar Zag nimseret
Shana tova, Shana tova
Shana tova lechol amel Banir vegam bamelet Shana tova umetuka Lechol yalda vayet
Shana Tova.
Shana Tova.
Shana Tova. Say it with me. Shana Tova. That's Happy New Year. Yes, in Hebrew. And we're hoping for a happy and sweet new year for all of us. 5,778. When did they start counting, you ask? Well, no one really knows for sure. But most of our sages believe that we're looking at an approximate date of the receiving of Torah at Mount Sinai. That would be the birthday of the Jewish religion, when we became organized as a people 5,778 years ago, give or take a few centuries, I guess. I don't know. I wasn't there. But what is important to remember is that our people have lasted a very long time through thick and thin, ups and downs, through Soros, which means trouble, and Simcha, which means joy. Right here on the Radio Rabbi program, AM 930, The Answer. Well, I have some wonderful Italian students that I'm teaching Jewish studies to as they prepare to become Jews by choice. And that means making conversion right here in Italy. And we did a workshop online the other day. Isn't Skype wonderful? If you don't have Skype, I encourage you to look into that. And we did a wonderful workshop, and we talked about the most famous of all of the Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur melodies, the most famous one of all, where we are encouraged to form a personal relationship with the God of our understanding. Avinu Malkeinu, Avinu our Father, Malkeinu our King. How do you view relationship with the God of your understanding? Barbara Streisand has this most famous piece of music, and Sylvia, Rosa Moreno, Maria, Xenia, I know how pleased you are to listen to this piece of music. Let's listen to Barbara Streisand, Avinu Malkeinu.
Avinu Malkeinu.
voice of Barbara Streisand, Avinu Malkeinu, Shema Koleinu, our Father, our King, hear our voices. The most famous, the most moving of all of the High Holy Day music right here on the Radio Rabbi program. I am your Radio Rabbi, Rabbi Barbara Aiello, and we thank you so much for joining us on our special program devoted to Rosh Hashanah. We have a little Torah talk for you today. The Parsha coming up this week in the synagogue, if you're planning on going, and if not, you may want to read it and during the week as in preparation for Shabbat. It's called Kitavol. We find it in Devarim or Deuteronomy chapter 26 through chapter 29. We are approaching the end of the year and the end of the Jewish year. So the Torah portions we read on the next few Shabbat mornings give us something to think about, something to chew on. And in a moment, you'll see what I mean. As Moses approaches the end of his life, he gathers the children of Israel together, all of us together, and he does something that almost never happens in the Torah. Moses teaches us a prayer. He lays out ritual. In fact, he says to us, this is what I want you to do, and this is how I want you to do it. Well, you might be asking yourself, why is that so unusual? Many of us believe that the rituals we follow, the prayers we say, the way we move around on the bima, that these things were all ordained by God in the Torah. Well, actually, not true. Rituals are essentially man-made, created by rabbis and sages as a way to make the Torah itself come alive, but not today. In one of the very few instances we will ever find in the Torah, God through Moses is telling us exactly what to do. If you and I were standing there listening to Moses, it might have happened something like this. Did you hear what Moses just said? I mean, really, we just finished up 40 years of walking through the desert. We're about to get to the promised land, and he wants us, when we get there, to give up the very best of our harvest, our first harvest in Eretz Israel. When we first plant the crops, is he serious? I think so. I mean, listen, he's saying that we're supposed to take some of our very best fruits and bring them to the temple, every first fruit of the soil. Well, I just don't get it. After all we've been through, now we have to give our best food away? That doesn't make any sense. What's going on with Moses? Enough already. What is going on with Moses? It's a good question, especially given what Moses is asking us to do. So let's take a trip back to ancient times. We made it. We have found the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. We cleared the land, we tilled the soil, we planted the seeds, we irrigated and fertilized the fields. It's now time to take a long walk out into the garden and see how well we've done. And guess what? The fruits and vegetables look beautiful. We are bursting with pride. We invite the neighbors over. Look at my garden. Can you believe it? Look at this tomato, this head of lettuce. Yours are big, but my veggies are even bigger. But while we're admiring our work, somebody says, hey, wait a minute. Didn't Moses tell us to do something with this first harvest? Oh, yes, yes, indeed. We're supposed to take it to the temple and say a special prayer. And that's what the Torah describes for us. When it happens that you come to the land that Adonai, your God, has given you as a territory and you inherit it and settle it, you are to take the first of all the fruits of the soil that you bring from your land, place them in a basket, go to the temple, and come to the Kohen. Now, if your name is Cohen, Khan, Sacerdoti, Cain, Katz, that would be you. And the Torah even tells us what we're supposed to say when we get there. I tell the Lord God today how I have come to the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us. And then the Kohen, the priest, would take the basket and place it on the bima. And all of us say the prayer, one of the only prayers found in the Torah. And this is the prayer that may just ring a bell for you. My father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, and they gave to us hard labor. And then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and miraculous signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, O God, have given me. In every town throughout the land of Israel, prayer groups would form up. They would have this big party during the evening. And in the morning, bright and early, they would begin their pilgrimage to Yerushalayim, to Jerusalem. The parade would be led by a flute player, followed by an ox. And the ox would have its horn overlaid with gold. A wreath of olive leaves would be wound around his head. And as they marched through the city, the people of Jerusalem would shout and greet them, "Welcome, welcome to Jerusalem." And when they reached the temple, the Levites, now that's those of you with surnames Levi, Levi, Lev, Lou, Lewis, Levinson, you would be the ones who would burst into songs. And when you think about it, the long walk up to Jerusalem, the parade through the streets and the musical entrance into the temple, the drama of reciting their prayers with all their baskets in hand must have made a powerful impression on our ancestors. It must have filled them with memories for a lifetime. But let's take a look at that prayer itself. It's from this prayer, "My father was a wandering Aramean," that we get the phrase "wandering Jew." And this prayer pops up again in a very important part of Jewish tradition. Do you know? Think? That's right. We find this prayer in the Pesach, the Passover Haggadah. The story of the Exodus is included in this prayer. In Hebrew, the Torah says, "Arami oved avi," which means that my father was a sojourner. He was a wanderer. He was a rootless hobo. My father was a homeless man. So it makes us wonder, why are we to remind ourselves at this time of harvest, at a time of plenty, at a time when the baskets are full to the overflowing, why is Moses asking us, why is the Torah telling us to say a prayer like that? Well, we get some help here from Moses Maimonides. In his book, Guide for the Perplexed, he reminds us that offering the first fruits of the harvest, the results of our best work, a concrete way for people to get into the habit of being generous. And that a ritual like the one we just read about is a way for us to think about limiting our appetite for more and more and more. Not only more food, but more property and more stuff to fill our lives. This ritual of giving, Maimonides would say, was an antidote to materialism and overindulgence. People who amass fortunes and live in comfort often fall victim to self-centered excesses and arrogance. They tend to move far away from ethical concerns because they become more and more involved in mine. Bringing a harvest basket and reciting his prayer was a way to do something that, at times, sometimes seems almost impossible to do. The simple basket filled with fruit was a way to make us humble before God and before each other, a way of reminding ourselves that even in times of prosperity, when everything is going really well, our mothers and fathers were downtrodden, poor, and homeless. Our ancestors were the kind of people that today some of us might cross the street to avoid. There is a certain amount of conceit in thinking that everything we have is because of our own doing. Arami Oved Avi is the Torah's way of reminding us that it wasn't just our industry, our skill, or self-discipline. It wasn't just our wits that got us where we are today. All the good things we have required mazel tov, good luck and good fortune. Maybe things are difficult for you today, but think back to your best of times. Could those uncanny coincidences have been examples of how God was working in our lives, but God just chose to be anonymous? And the ritual itself, that's important too. Just like a Seder at Passover, the holiday when we Jews are asked to recall their best memories of being Jewish. Most of us say the Passover Seder, and I think we Jews say that because the drama of the Seder creates a tangible tie, a bonding experience. It bonds the individual to the Jewish people. And for most of us, rituals like the ones we do Friday night and Saturday morning are comforting,
For one thing, they help us banish loneliness. Jewish rituals remind me that I am now in the company of other people just like me who celebrate the same heroes, the same heroines, the same tragedies, the same triumphs. Rituals take us back home to the ancient ties of faith and tradition. Aramio Verabi, my father was a wandering Aramean. There was a time when our ancestors were down on their luck, homeless and afraid. Things are better now. No matter what our circumstances are today, they can't be worse than what our ancestors faced as oppressed runaway slaves. So today, we recall common rituals, and we prepare ourselves for another ritual, for the sounding of the shofar, the singing of Avinu Malkeinu, for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Let us remember what our sages said about our lives of plenty. What each of us has today, the great job, the beautiful condo, the car, the van, the trips we've taken, the bank account, our health, no matter what our particular daily condition, our faith community, our wonderful children, our blessed grandchildren, all of these things required God's help to pull it off, to put it all in place, and to make it happen. Jewish tradition tells us if we tend to our roots, our trees grow stronger. They produce gifts beyond measure, and our baskets are overflowing. As we offer our fruits and we share our gifts with a prayer that is a declaration that recalls our stormy history, we are reminded to take nothing for granted. And now, as we approach the end of one year and the beginning of a new one, let God's miracles stay fresh in our memory. That way we can remain humble before others, grateful to God, and generous in our actions. So what can we do? Well, we have the three T's of Rosh Hashanah, Tefillah, prayer, Teshuvah, return, and Tzedakah, giving of charity. Make a donation to the hurricane flood relief. That would help. It's the modern version of giving your first fruits. But you can do that too. Prepare a basket. Really do it. Tomatoes, peppers, onions, lettuce. Share your bounty, just like our ancestors did. Prepare a basket. Take it to a neighbor. Shana Tova. A little bit of Torah talk today from the Radio Rabbi program. A regular feature here on our program is the Misha Barak prayers. We pray for those in need of healing. And I've been asked today to remember for Misha Barak, Ralph and Becky, Dennis, Victoria, Iris, Sandy, and Andrea, Darian, Mark, Leanne, Franco, Annie, and James. And let's just take a moment, too, and remember everyone affected by Hurricane Harvey and the floods, those who are in need of physical, moral, and morale, I should say, emotional and psychological strength. And say aloud the names of your friends and family members as we enlarge that spiritual energy and we listen to the Misha Barak prayer.
Mekor HaBracha, La
was the Mishaberic Prayer for Healing, a regular feature here on the Radio Rabbi program. Well, I promised you the sound of the shofar, and I'm ready to do it for you now. I'm holding two shofarot, that's plural, in my hands. One is the typical curved shofar, and that is the one from the bush buck. And when we read about the binding of Isaac, the Akedah, Abraham does not sacrifice his son, as we know. Instead, there is a ram caught in the bush. And that animal is sacrificed instead. And the horn of what would be the matane, the bush buck, is one of the more familiar curved of all of the shofarot. The first sound is tikiyah. That's tension. Maimonides called the sounding of the shofar God's alarm clock. And not only are we blessed for sounding it, we are blessed for hearing it as well. And as I mentioned earlier, if you go to the synagogue for Rosh Hashanah on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, you will hear 101 blasts of the shofar. Very, very moving, absolutely very moving. So the first one is pay attention. Stop what you're doing and pay attention to Kiyah. First, let's make the blessing. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Kidshanu B'Mitzvotav V'Tzivanu Lishmoa Kol Shofar. And now we would hear the call in the synagogue to Kiyah. And then we would hear the next sound, which is the sighing sound. And the sighing sound is called Shavarim. And that reminds us, as we look at the year just passed, there were some things we neglected to do. Maybe sometimes we lost our temper, emails we didn't answer, tools we didn't return, something we broke and didn't own up to, little time we stole at work, doing personal things, taking home some pens and pencils. These kinds of things bring a sigh to us, the sighing sound. Shavarim. Oh, right, you know. The next shofar I'm going to hold is from the stambeko. It's a long, narrow tube, if you will, also from an animal called the ibex, often seen in Sephardic synagogues, and this shofar is found often in the Mediterranean countries. The next sound is teruah. As a matter of fact, in the Bible, Rosh Hashanah is not named as such. It is named Yom Teruah instead, not Rosh Hashanah, but Yom Teruah means the day of the sounding of the shofar, and teruah is the crying sound, because some things that we did in the past year were more serious than others. As one man said to me recently, he said, Rabbi, I haven't spoken with my brother in 6 years. We had a fight. I said, well, what was the fight about? He said, I don't remember anymore. And I suggested that he ask for forgiveness, that he approach his brother and ask for forgiveness, that their separation happened. And this is what teruah is, the sobbing sound that makes us cry when we think of some of our more serious transgressions. Teruah. Sounds like crying, doesn't it? And the last sound in the shofar service and the last sound in the service on Yom Kippur is Tikiyah Gedolah, which means the attention sound, the long sound, the long blast. Tikiyah Gedolah. Gedolah is a Hebrew word for big. And that allows us to start the brand new year fresh. We've made our amends. We've asked for forgiveness. And now we are starting the brand new year, 5,778 fresh. Tikiyah Gedolah. Good thing I was a trumpet player in a previous life, right? Tikkia Gadola, the sounding of the shofar. It is the most remembered of all of the rituals. We talked about rituals today in Torah Talk, of all of the ritual expressions that we have during the High Holy Day season, the most well-remembered right here on the Radio Rabbi program. Well, we have another song, and this one is a very interesting one. It's all about the Rosh, all about the Rosh, meaning Rosh Hashanah. It's a little bit of a parody, and parodies are fun this time of the year. Let's listen.
Because I'm all about that Rosh Hashanah. I'm all about that Rosh Hashanah. I'm all about that Rosh Hashanah. I'm all about that Rosh, about that Rosh. Yeah, yeah, it's pretty clear, the New Year's coming true. Let's dip apples in honey, like we're supposed to do. Shofar's got boom boom that all the rabbis play, and all the Jews come in all different places. I see elders and teens up in the synagogue, cause it's the time to pray and let the shofar drop. If you got honey, honey, let apple drop, cause every Rosh Hashanah is sweeter and we're at the synagogue. Well, my mama, she told me, don't worry about your sins. She says, High Holidays is the time that repentance begins. L'shana Tova, L'shana Tova. You know I may be a typical Jew with tradition and all. The synagogue let's go into and pray and we'll all have a ball. Because you know I'm all about that Rosh Hashanah. I'm all about that Rosh Hashanah. I'm all about that Rosh Hashanah. I'm all about that Rosh. Now bring the shofar back, cause Rosh Hashanah is the time for that. That shofar's playing, what you looking at? And I'm here to tell you, every inch of it is ram's horn from the bottom to the top. Well, my mama, she told me, don't worry about your sins. She said, High Holidays is the time that repentance begins. You know I may be a typical Jew with tradition and all. The synagogue let's go into and pray and we'll all have a ball. Because you know I'm all about that Rosh Hashanah. I'm all about that Rosh Hashanah. I'm all about that Rosh Hashanah. I'm all about that Rosh. Because I'm all about that Rosh Hashanah. I'm all about that Rosh Hashanah. I'm all about that Rosh Hashanah. I'm all about that Rosh. Because you know I'm all about that Rosh Hashanah. I'm all about that Rosh Hashanah. I'm all about that Rosh Hashanah. I'm all about that Rosh. Because I'm all about that Rosh Hashanah. I'm all about that Rosh Hashanah. I'm all about that Rosh Hashanah. I'm all about that Rosh. Because I'm all about that Rosh Hashanah. I'm all about that Rosh Hashanah. I'm all about that Rosh Hashanah. I'm all about that Rosh.
About that Rosh Hashanah. Parodies are fun, aren't they, during the Rosh Hashanah season? I apologize. I know it's going to stay in your brain for a little while, but that's a nice song. It's a very, very happy song. Do you know that Rosh Hashanah is the marks the birthday of the world, the creation of our world, and it is the birthday of the world, and that's why it is a joyful holiday, whereas Yom Kippur is more contemplative and it is more solemn. What is the most important holiday on the Jewish calendar? Shabbat comes every week of the year. The most solemn is the High Holy Day season, right here on the Radio Rabbi program. We wish a Shana Tova to Sleep King of Sarasota, to Steve Prophet, and to all of the staff there. And I know that they wish the very same for all of you. Charter sponsors for 15 years, and we're so grateful. And they ask you the same question every week because it's such an important question. How did you sleep last night? Did you have that comforter tucked up under your chin? not so good, huh? You have an Oy-Vey list when you get up in the morning and you checked it all out medically, but you're still not feeling 100%. Well, check it out. Maybe it's your mattress. How do you know that? You stop by Sleep King of Sarasota at 1901 Hanson Street. You go with comfortable clothes and your favorite pillow, your teddy bear and your blankie if you like, and give yourself 10 minutes. 10 minutes maximum. Do that. 8 to 10 minutes on every mattress that you try. Maybe narrow it down to 2 or 3 if you don't have a great deal of time. And you will see, as sleep experts have told us, that 8 to 10 minutes, if you really do, even take your kitchen timer with you so you're not tempted to get up too quickly. And when you do get up, how do you feel? How do those muscles and bones feel? And if you're feeling good, that could be the mattress for you. Steve Proffitt and his staff try to find the mattress that's right for you within your budget so that you are pleased with the selection you've made and the price that you paid. That includes free delivery and free setup. Nice young men come and set your bed up for you in your room, which they did for me. I didn't like where it was. They moved it around for me, too. Very, very sweet guys, and I always like to thank them as well. Sleep King has been in business for more than 30 years without one single complaint to the Better Business Bureau. That's very, very important. Torah principles in action. That's what Steve Proffitt has done, and he's done it in memory of Larry Cohen of blessed memory, who started the business many, many years ago. And we wish all of the staff there and all of our Sleep King customers and a Shana Tova, a happy and a blessed new year, and start the new year off right. Get that good night's sleep that every one of us needs. 7 to 8 hours undisturbed sleep is appropriate, is really essential for all aspects of good health. And we thank you so much, Sleep King, for being a charter sponsor of the Radio Rabbi program. I know you'd like to hear some more music, and I would too. Would you like to hear Shana Tova Tiktevu? May we be inscribed for the new in the Good Book of Life for a new year? Let's listen. Shana Tova Tikateu, may you be inscribed in the Good Book of Life for a brand new year. Right here on the Radio Rabbi program, I am your Radio Rabbi, Rabbi Barbara Aiello, and this is AM 930 The Answer. We're going to talk a little bit about Harvey. It's been on everyone's mind and on TV, of course, all week long, as it should be. And 3 weeks ago, however, a young woman by the name of Laura Lederman, she left Camp Young Judea in Texas because she had served as unit head there for 14-year-olds during summer camp. Then Hurricane Harvey hit the Texas coast, and Laura Lederman was back at camp, this time preparing the cabins for evacuees in need of a place to live. And last Tuesday, families began moving into the camp itself, which is a 180-acre facility which is outside of Austin. As Tropical Storm Harvey continued to batter the Texas coast, Jewish summer camps are mobilizing to aid families by sheltering them or supervising their children. And that's what Camp Young Judea is doing. They opened their doors to families that have evacuated Houston, which is about a three-hour drive away. 10 families arrived last Tuesday, and more are anticipated once families are able to leave the flooded city where many of roads are closed. We don't have a lot of money, but we have a great staff, so we said, let's open it up. And those are the words of Camp Director Frank Silberlicht, who had evacuated his own Houston home this week after living 2 days without power. For people who have some kind of normalcy, that's what our camp is providing. Another camp called the Green Family Camp is a reform overnight camp also north of Austin, and they offered space for families to stay as well. Staff realized that families would be better served by an impromptu day camp for kids in Houston, freeing up their parents to go back home and survey the damage. The camp is also providing canned foods and clothing to those in need, along with much needed emotional support. We're going to do everything we can to support them emotionally as well as physically. We want to keep the kids occupied, try to take their minds off what's going on, said Louis Dobbin, Green Family Camp's executive director. In both cases, the camps hope to recreate the fun and relaxed atmosphere they provide summer long. Dobbin expects a couple of hundred kids to attend the day camp once it opens, where they will receive meals, do activities like relay races, or movie time. Young Judea will house families in private guest rooms that are usually reserved as spaces for retreats or conventions. The camp has bed linens, towels, and about a week of food for 100 people. It's far enough from the flooding to buy more, and in addition to beds, the camp is providing families with 3 meals a day and a snack. Camp staff has also been meeting families' special requests, from portable cribs to a few sets of dry clothing, and they're planning to open a business center with computers and an internet connection. When families are not eating or sleeping, counselors like Laura Lederman will put on a program for kids and adults, from sports and trivia games to even a rope course as well. And if you'd like to help out, the Jewish Federations of North America, the Harvey Relief Fund, they are collecting money for the Harvey Relief Fund, and you can specify that your donation go directly to these summer camps that are helping out so great, and it's in such a very, very important time of need. Well, Radio Rabbi will be in New York City September 14th and 15th. If you haven't friended me on Facebook, do that, and you can find out exactly where I'll be. I'll be screening my new film, my documentary film, and I'll also be doing a Shabbat service if you're in the New York area September 14th and 15th, New York City. Love to see you. Nice song for Rosh Hashanah, Bashana Haba'a. Let's listen. holistic in nature. And what do we mean by that? Well, whether you're a reformer, progressive, orthodox, or reconstructionist, conservative, or renewal, humanistic, Ashkenazi, or Sephardic, is your family part of the B'nai Anosim ancestral community? That means they were crypto-Jewish Meranos or Conversos like mine, a cultural, secular, or even a gastronomical Jew. You know what? We're all part of the Mishpucha, part of a worldwide, wonderful Jewish family, and we say to you, welcome home. This is Rabbi Barbara Aiello, your radio rabbi. We will see you next week right here on AM 930, The Answer, FM 102.1, and 90, 103.1 and 93.7. Shalom, everyone.